God is good. Amen. All the time. Amen. You know, I feel so at home. I want you to know this. The presence of the Lord is beautiful in this place. Amen. Come on, let's give God all the glory. Really, really, really. I mean, the worship was awesome. It's, you know, the presence of the Lord is really, really so awesome in this place. You know, just walking in here, the atmosphere is so free. You will know it. You will know it when you walk into a church. You will know whether the atmosphere is still, the atmosphere is hard, or, you know, the presence of God is just not there or whatever. But, you know, not this place. When I walk in, there was such freedom. You see, it's not about the numbers. It's not about the size of the building. It's not about, you know, whatever it is. It's about the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is in this place. But the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? Amen. And Yi Teng, I want you to know we are praying for your father. Your father attends the Saturday service now with your mom and your, you know, and he comes for altar call very often when there's a call for prayer, for healing. And we anoint him with oil and we are praying all the way. We are believing that God, by his stripe, he's healed. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And so when Pastor Kelvin called me and said, what's the title of the topic? The first thing that came into mind was the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. And I said, Lord, what is it about? I just, you know, just from my mouth, I have no passage in mind, just the statement that came, the mighty hand of God, and I just, because I've been doing funerals, trust me, it's been funerals. Funerals for the past 1-2 months. Every week I have funerals, and then almost every week I had a wedding. And it's true, sometimes I get very confused with weddings and funerals. In fact, when I wanted to come here, I told somebody I'm coming here for a funeral, and it's supposed to be a wedding. And then there will be times in the wedding service, I will say, you know, sometimes I have 3-4 funerals in a week, and then that Saturday will be weddings, and usually weddings are on Saturdays. And I get up to the pulpit, I say, praise the Lord, good morning, everybody. It's so good for you to come. Thank you this morning for coming for this, memorial service. I say, for this holy, for this matrimony this morning. Praise the Lord for this matrimony. And then at the end, I say, you can send your congratulatory, praise the Lord. Send your congratulatory, praise God. You know, so I get very confused, and sometimes in funerals, I will say almost, you can now give your condolence to the family. You know, I told the Lord, please, Lord, please, if there's one mistake I should not do, it's this one. Can you imagine during a funeral, I say, you can send your congratulatory to the family. Oh, but God is awesome. You know, most of my patients, the reason why I'm in a funeral service, you see, I'm in a funeral service. I walk the hospital is because the Lord has visited me in his divine way. I have been, I've hurt my spine before. I've been bedridden before in a hospital. And those who have been bedridden, you usually want to die because I'm a sportswoman. You know, I run for the states of federal territory in Malaysia. So I'm a netball player. I'm a reserve, though, in the national team of my country. So I'm athlete. So for someone to be bedridden, it is no joke. Before that, I was in martial arts, you know, but I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Yeah. I took the Shaolin Kung Fu those days. You know, so I take people on. I remember, I must tell you this story. Can I tell a story? Okay, yeah, it's a true story. I tell you, the mighty hand of God is always there, yeah? So one day I remember I was out buying some, so the Lord visited me and raised me up from the bed. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yes? Okay. And then, so one day I was out buying some, you know, goreng pisang. What do you call goreng pisang?
Banana fritters.
Banana fritters. Oh, are you a Malaysian?
Yeah, Singaporean.
Oh, Singapore. Oh, no wonder. Singapore like Jiran. So I was buying banana fritters with somebody. And a motorbike, you know, this is a one-way direction. They came the other way and snatched the handbag of my friend who was with me and dragged her on the motorbike. And all of a sudden, inside me, I had my handbag, I had my car key. I threw it off and I ran and chased after him. I was ready and I thought, he thought probably, I gave my kung fu stun and that motorbike cyclist let her go because she will be paralyzed. You know, and just drag her for quite some time. And I thank the Lord because at the point of time, you know, you don't care anymore, but the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, is the hand of the Lord. You know, that just begin to stir my spirit and I went and he let go and thank God she's not paralyzed. Because I have another case where they drag and the girl was paralyzed, quadriplegic, totally paralyzed. I want you to know this morning that it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And when the mighty hand of God is upon you, he's either for you or against you. He's either for you or against you. That's the mighty hand of God. You either stand with him or you stand against him. which we'll look into the scripture in time to come. And you can see that when the mighty hand of God is upon someone, you know, this mighty hand of God started in the book of Genesis. Let's look at it very quickly. All right, let's look at it very quickly. Book of Genesis. Okay, I must slow down. I forgot. I'm not preaching to a youth congregation. I remember I was preaching in a senior adults one day, and I was running here and running there. By the end of the service, the senior adults were all panting. I said, what happened? Because you make us so tired. And I said, okay. All right, I'm not in the youth service. Okay, let's look into Genesis 49, 22 to 24. It started right in the book of Genesis. This is the first time the mighty hand of God is mentioned. All right, okay. Or the mighty one, something like that. Joseph of Genesis 49, 22 to 24. Got the page? Say yeah. Okay, good, good. Okay, Joseph, this is a prophecy of Jacob to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful vine, near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him. They shot at him in hostility. But his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed strong in some version limber. Because the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. So this prophecy was given to Joseph, that because of the mighty hand, the strong hand of God, that no matter what happens to him, he will remain strong. While the enemy can come at you, I want you to know we don't live to please the world. We don't live to please men. And we are not afraid of the pressures of the world. Nothing in this world matters when the Lord is with you. The world lives for prestige. The world lives for fame, for power, for possession. And in this world, we need possession to a certain extent. We need certain things to a certain extent. But you don't live for that. But you, when you live for God, I tell you, nothing else matters. That's why your song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's the call of the Lord. That when you decide to follow him, you take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him all the way. What can matter? Do you know I do funerals all the time? And at the end of the day, no matter how famous they are, no matter how powerful they are, no matter how rich they are, all everyone has is just one little box. And it's always ash to ash, dust to dust. So what are these things of the world? Nothing else matters. So where Joseph is concerned, the prophecy was given by Jacob, that no matter what happens to you, the mighty hand, when the mighty hand of God is upon you, nobody can destroy you. Nobody can put you in a corner. Nobody can take your position away from you. Nobody. Because the mighty hand of God is upon you. And you can see in the life of Joseph, there's one enemy in the world, and you and I know who's your enemy. Come on, who's the enemy in the world? Not your mother-in-law. Not your father-in-law. Not your brother, not your sister, not your mother, not your father, not your friend, not your neighbor. Who's your enemy? Not your pastor. Who's your enemy? Satan. You know that behind all this, there's only one enemy, and that's the devil. And you know in the life of Joseph, what did the enemy wants to do? He wants to destroy him, right? From the onset, he had a dream. God has destined him to be a great man. God has destined many of you to be great in his own way, in his own eyes. Don't compare greatness. Don't compare fame. Because I like Pastor Kelvin Sim, we all have the same spirit. Fame is nothing to us. If you want to be famous, it's so easy to put in the internet everything. You hardly can find me much in the internet. You know, I can preach around the world, not that I'm boasting. But what I'm saying is this. I told them, don't put me in the internet. I preach in Detroit Stadium, 13,000 people. I can also preach in small little groups with 13 people because that's not important to me. You get what I'm saying? I preach in Stanford College, at Stanford University, Edinburgh, California. But I can also preach in a classroom of just 5 people because it's not about being world famous. It's about proclaiming, like somebody was praying just now, lifting up the name of Jesus. For there's no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name, because there's one name. Philippians 2 says so clearly that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And so Joseph had the dream, and God has a destiny for him. And you know, he went from the pit to prison, and then finally to the palace. He didn't start from the palace, but he started from the pit. And the enemies tried to kill him. But the scripture keep on saying this one word, the hand of the Lord was upon him. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. While he was, first of all, in Potiphar's house, the scripture say very clearly in Genesis 38 and 39, 40, you can read it later on. He says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he had favor with Potiphar. And then he was allowed to reign over the masters. But of course, you know, there's always a woman. A woman. There's always a woman who always come. Yeah, come on. There are also men nowadays. I don't know why they always think seducers are women. But I want you to know, seducers can also be. And you know, the lady came along. And Joseph, being a man of God, oh, hallelujah, we need men of God in this house. Amen. Amen. We need men of God in this house to arise. Amen. Amen. And we need young men of God. And amen. Yeah. Don't look around. He's looking around. Hello. There's nobody younger than you, bro. Amen.
I'm younger.
I'd like to hear amen from you. We need men to arise. And Joseph, being a godly man, refused that seduction. He refused even to lift his eyes at his woman. And he ran and fled for his life. And that's why he found himself in prison, finally. But in prison, the scriptures say the same thing. The Lord was with Joseph. Oh, when the Lord is with Joseph, you earn respect and trust. And the scriptures say the prison warder trusted him and gave him the key. You know, he could have released the whole prisoners in prison and himself. Because he's got the key, man. He's got the key to his physical freedom. But Joseph have a key in his spiritual freedom. So what is this jail to him? What is this prison gates to him? It's nothing. He could easily turn that key and be released anytime, any moment, and he's free. But he knew a greater freedom. The freedom within his spirit. The freedom in his soul. Oh! That's the freedom that he has. And that's why he continued to serve in the prison. Because the Lord is with him. And then you know about the dream of the baker and the barter. And then they totally forgotten. Do you know when people forget you, God remembers you? When Noah went through the flood, the scriptures say, after the whole flood, the scriptures say, God remembered Noah. The whole world sang. Everything seems gone. Everything is stripped from you. Everything taken away from you. The world can strip you of everything, but not the Lord. Because in the Lord, you got it all. Amen? Amen. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can you. And so while the world has forgotten Noah, the scriptures say, God remembered. Of course, maybe everybody died. Nobody remember him. Lah. But you see, when God gives you a promise, they are yes and they are amen. When God assured Noah, he's with him. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so God remembered Joseph. While these two have forgotten, of course, one of them died, you know that. Yeah, the barter stayed on and the baker died. But beautifully, God intervened. Do you know when things don't seem to move, God will intervene? Because it's the mighty hand of God. He always intervened. And so God intervened. And at the moment when he intervened, Pharaoh had a dream. And nobody in this wise, and no wise man in this kingdom could ever interpret it. And here comes Joseph. Joseph's dream was interpreted because this guy suddenly remembered. He interpreted, and the scripture went on to say, you know what Pharaoh say? I want you to just see what Pharaoh himself say. Pharaoh say in Genesis, I just want to read that. Genesis 41, because Pharaoh's dream, you know about the gaunt goat and the skinny ones and stuff like that, the cows, okay. Pharaoh, chapter 41, Genesis 37 to 39, says, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? A pagan man, a pagan king, asking for one in whom is the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since he couldn't find anyone, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. And so Joseph was appointed next to the king. Awesome, isn't it? The story didn't end there. Joseph died. They all increased in Egypt. The Pharaoh never knew Joseph anymore. The new Pharaohs, they've forgotten. And then what happened? The Israelites multiplied in Egypt, and they became slaves. There again, the enemy wanted to put the people of Israel into one corner again. They tried to put Joseph, whom God has already prophesied shall be great, put him in a corner, but the Lord promoted him all the way. And now, the whole tribe of Israel, the whole nation, they were put in a corner because Egypt tried to subject them. Oh, but the mighty hand of God will not allow it. Do you know if God does not allow a circumstance, it cannot happen to you? It will not. And so they tried to subject the Israelites. Same thing, what happened? The scriptures say when Moses came before Pharaoh, he used this word, the mighty hand of God. And you can find in Exodus 13, after all the plagues they were delivered, the Lord said, remember, it's the mighty hand of God that delivered you. This church, Life Solution Christian Church, the solution will come because of the mighty hand of God. Life solution will come because of the mighty hand of God. It will come. Because you do not exist simply because somebody had a dream alone. No. You exist because the mighty hand of God has planted you here. You exist because the mighty hand of God gave someone a vision and touched each one of you to be here. It's the mighty hand of God that begins to stir every one of you. Not because somebody called you. Yes, there's an invitation through a human instrument. But the mighty hand of God puts his church together. Amen? Amen. And so what happened? The Lord delivered them. And then it goes all the way now. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. That's my passage. Because it didn't end there. That same mighty hand of God didn't end there. Somebody in the New Testament quoted it. Who quoted it? Under the mighty hand of God. I just say only Peter lah. 1 Peter chapter 5. I like to read the scripture. Can we read all the way from verse 1? All right, all the way from verse 1. Then we take it down all the way to verse 11. I have brought my young people back to learning to just read the scripture and study it in the context. Because what's happening is, and I believe Pastor Kelvin works this way too, what's happening is, I find that nowadays there's a lot of motivational preachers that give principles, how to do this, how to be successful, how to do better, how to get rich. And people go off all the principles. But do you know people can forget principles? But they will remember the Word of God. When the principles are backed up with the Word of God, it makes all the sense. You don't believe me? After you leave, you only remember the Word of God. You probably cannot remember everything I've said. Yeah, you feel inspired, that's about all, and then you go home. But you will remember the Word of God. And you will know where to look for the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's only the Word of God that can pierce through and divide and search and convict. It's the Word of God. So let's give respect to the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. All young people, take out your iPhone with your Word of God. I don't check on them. See, he's not taking out. That's why I'm checking on him. Your phone got Bible, right? Your phone got a Bible? Yeah, really, I'm serious. Okay, thank you. Good job. Share the Bible. All right, everybody has a Bible? Okay, don't have share. You know why? We see so much on the PowerPoint, scriptures put there, you don't know how to look at your Bible. And when in times of trouble, I'm worried about the new generation. I am. I've been pastoring young people, young adults now as well. And now I'm also sitting in the leadership team of my church for 30 years. And I realize the new generation don't know where to look for the scripture when they have troubles. So I'm helping you. Okay, 1 Peter, you got it? Chapter 5. We have to pass the word of God to the young generation. Okay, this side, no problem, right? Okay, let's read together. Whatever version, it doesn't matter. But you just read the Word of God. Even if you don't understand, you are feeding your spirit man. Your inner man needs the Word of God. All right? Okay, one to go. Verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the grace, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Do you know, in Joseph, the prophecy given also talk about the shepherd. That shepherd is with him. And now Peter, quoting it, also said the shepherd is the one that will reward you. Isn't that cool? You're not fighting a losing battle. You're fighting a winning battle. But let's go all the way. Because the first part talk about the shepherds. You're doing it not because, you know, because of dishonest gain or because unwilling, but because you're willing. But I want to get to here, verse 5. In the same way you who are younger, submit yourselves to... You know, this part the young people don't like to hear. Younger, they must be talking about us young people, submit to us. They cannot take it. And then some parents, when they want to subject their children, you see here? Then it says here, in the same way you younger, submit to yourself, to us, older, you know, elder. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. All right, so don't worry. Don't go home and fight with your parents over this scripture. All right? But I want to say this. Under God's mighty hand, a few things you can see here. Why do Peter says, submit yourself, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? First of all, because God opposes the proud. Because God opposes the proud. The word opposes is a military term here. It is resist. It's like all the military, all the soldiers are here, and he will oppose you with that power. It's not a simple oppose. I don't agree with you. Sorry. No, no, no. It's a military term. God opposes. God resists. God will be against you. So it's a military term. You want to fight God? Be aware. There's a greater power there. God is so powerful. It's a military term. First of all, why must you humble yourself under the mighty? Well, number one, God opposes the proud. Let me tell you, when God opposes the proud, you are gone, man. I want to share this simple testimony, which I can share because my sister allows me to share. My sister runs a nightclub. You all know what's a nightclub, right? Our nightclub here is not, your nightclub here, maybe it's not the same as our nightclub there. You know, this is where men come and then you pay money and then, you know, you have a drink and then you pay the woman, those kind. Strip club. Strip club? No, 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 no. No strip club. Nightclub. You know, the men will come and then they pay money, they sit down for a drink and, you know, they pay by the hours and stuff like that. That was my sister in the past. She runs a nightclub, a top nightclub in Malaysia. You know, nightclubs are really in opposing to God. And I remember seeing a vision once. And in that vision, I saw she lost everything, even the house she was staying, and she was standing on just one brick. Everything began to sink. And I told my sister, I said, do you know, I saw this vision of you. That time her nightclub was still doing good. And I saw all things begin to sink, including the one, the only thing that's left under your feet is that one brick. She didn't listen. She just said, oh, I can do it, you know, and stuff like that. I say, no, I think God is not in favor of these things that you're doing. And she's not a Christian, though. But she carried on. 1-2 years down the line, pom, everything. You must understand her nightclub has a lot of rich people coming on. One of the top in Kuala Lumpur. But it's gone overnight. And even her car, her Porsche, her BM, whatever, is gone. Boxer, last time. Gone. Her house that she's staying, gone. She went right down, hit rock bottom, and come to zero. God opposes the proud. God will. And you know what's my sister's testimony today? I'm so glad I went flat. Because it is then I found God. And my sister now, in the process of transformation, of course we all are changing, she drives me around to hospital visitation now. And she's my older sister. I used to serve her. Oh, praise God. God can change the older one to serve the younger. Scripture is so true, man. Right now, girl? It's her mother, by the way. You know, she used to be like my big sister, you know? The one with the money, she's five star and stuff like that. You know, travel business class, that kind of stuff. Now we are travel economy. Oh, hallelujah. And I told her, God will release you from your bankruptcy, I told her. You know, because her passport is compounded. But I told my sister before I came to Australia, I said, God will release you. Amen. And she said, do you know, I felt God is calling me. And I remember seeing her in the harvest field. Oh, what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for good, man. Because God opposes the proud, number one. Number two, God gives grace to the humble. God extends his favor to the humble. And that's why we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Some of us will humble ourselves before King of the world. We will humble ourselves before the Prime Minister. We humble ourselves, so-called put down ourselves, before CEOs and this and that. Big shot, small shot, big gun, small gun, pistol gun, rifle, whatever. But come before God, we can be so arrogant and proud and say, I'll do it my way or no way. Get out of the way. You know, we are so full of ourselves. But the Bible says, God opposes the proud. But God gives grace to the humble. Do you know when people put you down, God gives you grace? And grace will abound. And you can take it, man. Psh! Come on, baby, I can take it. Psh! Come on, baby, I can still take it. I'm still standing. Yeah. Nothing can put me down. Nothing else. That's right. Nothing in this world will. Jesus, you are my center. He's the center. When Jesus in the center, you know those things? The toy? Should come out. Should come out. Come out. Because why? You're under the mighty hand of God. If they push you here, God push you back. Hallelujah. Nothing beats the hand of God. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many of you know what it meant to be humiliated by people before? How many know, understand what it meant to be backstabbed? To be gossiped, to be slandered, to be put down before by people, to be looked down. Nothing else matters because God gives grace to the humble. Amen. And scripture went on to say, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in, I like that, is in due time. The third point is in due time. Why do you need to humble yourself under God's mighty hand? Because it opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It's in due time. He will kill you? No. In due time, he will shut you up? No. In due time, he will push you back? No. He will lift you up. Oh. He will lift you up. It's the Lord that exalts. It's the Lord that lifts you up. It's the Lord that opens the door. It's the Lord that makes the way where there seems to be no way. It's the Lord that put the next step for you, the next platform. It's the Lord in due time. But you see, we don't like the in due time. Because we want it with the capital N. What's that? Now. That's the problem with us. Tell your neighbor, now is a human problem. But I like God's now. In the Bible, every time a prophecy is given with the word now, usually it takes years. Isn't that awesome? So awesome, right? I remember praying for business people. And I said, now. So these guys, wow, God is going to prosper us now. It took them, let me tell you, how long? 10 years. Oh. But the prophecy came to pass. I remember going to Jakarta with the general superintendent of Indonesia. And while there, the Lord just stirred my spirit and I says, your country is having this tree issue. Pastor Isaac, Reverend Isaac and the wife, they cried. They say, yeah. And I said, but God said these are the three solutions. I am not God. And so Pentecostal World Conference just recently, this year in Malaysia, they came. I went in and they cannot recognize me. It's all right, they recognize Jesus. Well, I could recognize them, hallelujah. Because why? He's the superintendent. Of course, I'm one of the pastors. Naturally, I can recognize him. So I went to Pastor Isaac and the wife. I say, hello, apa kabar dari Indonesia? Boleh faham? Oh, bisa. Means you're from Indonesia. And the wife, and I said, the wife said, who are you? Paul, I know. Every Jesus, I know. But who are you? I said, oh. I said, oh, I am Julie Koo. Oh, I got so happy she knows my name. He knows my name. Oh, yo. So I said, I'm Julie Koo. Oh, you see, dia tak cam muka saya. No, she cannot recognize my face. But I think he remembers the name. Pastor Julie Koo. I say, yeah. Oh, suddenly I feel so happy, you know. You know, you feel so happy, suddenly you remember, oh, yes, it's me. And then she said this. And that word was given about 7-8 years ago. Pastor Julie, do you remember the prophecy? Three things you told us. Two already came to pass. We are in the third one now. Come and give Jesus all the glory. Yeah. In due time. If God has given you a promise, hold on. Hang on. In the moment, in the period of hanging on, what do? Don't look around physically. You can get discouraged. Don't even look to men because they will fail you. You continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Because you look to circumstances change. But the Lord remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. You look to men will fail you, but God will not fail you. So in due time, you hang on and you keep on praying. Why do you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God? Because He cares for you. It's because He cares for you. You will entrust yourself to someone who cares for you, true or not? Look at the child. The child would entrust himself to Ben and Yiting. Why? Because they care for him. A stranger comes up, he might not. True, she might not. Sorry, Malaysian Chinese. He and she sometimes out of place. You understand what I'm saying? A child will trust the parent. You take the child anywhere, do you know a small child will not question? But a 3-year-old will question, where are we going? Why? That one is okay. You understand what I'm saying? But generally, a child would because he cares. And you can trust God. It doesn't matter. Do you know when you trust God, you're not afraid to die anymore? What's the worst thing that can happen to a person? Death. But when you no longer fear death, you trust the shepherd. Death is nothing to you. Death is glorious to a believer. Many of my patients are not Christians. They accept the Lord, and death is glorious. I received a call just recently from Pastor Kelly, Pastor Victor Wong's wife. The father is in Singapore, Changi Hospital. And so I was in Malaysia on Sunday morning. He says, the Lord prompted me, woke me up. Julie, go to Changi Hospital this morning. It's Sunday morning. I was not preaching. I already attended Saturday. So I quickly booked a flight and flew down to Singapore that morning. Entered the hospital, went to visit the father. And when I was there, do you know the mighty hand of God? When he moved you, he made all things right. Because the minute I entered the hospital, the father actually had dementia. And you know, dementia means they've totally forgotten a lot of things. And he's 80 over years old. The minute I entered, I'm okay with children crying. I'm used to it. The minute I entered the hospital, the Lord miraculously touched his mind. The memory came back. Because I was telling the Lord, I didn't know he has dementia. I only found out later he has dementia. So it was cool, right? I didn't go with fear, not knowing. But the Lord brought his memory back. Dr. Valerie, that's called a miracle. We were discussing about miracle yesterday. Amen. She's a doctor. And so at the hospital, I walked in and I talk about Victor. I talk about Kelly. He's straight away, yes, I know. Victor is my son, my son-in-law, and da-da-da-da. Straight away, I went zero in. I say, Uncle, I just want to share this with you. That Jesus loves you. I speak in Hokkien because it's Hokkien. Kanwa e chiu. You say Hokkien? Okay, never mind. I shared with him the song from my iPad. Hold my hand. My child, I'm here. If you walk past this door, I will say to you, come in. Jip lai wa e kia. Come in, my child. Kanwa e chiu. That means hold my hand. That beautiful song. And he listened and listened. And at the end, I say, Uncle, do you want Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you all your sins? Pastor Kelly told me my father has been rejecting Christ all his life. But that morning, oh my, I recorded on video his salvation prayer, his acknowledging Jesus. I posted it back to Kelly. She cried. And the next day she came to visit the father. And after that, he went home to the Lord. Come on. I tell you. Another patient of mine, I'll end with some stories and I'll close here. Yeah? Just to leave this with you, under the mighty hand of God. Why? Number one, God opposes the proud. Number two, God gives grace to the humble. Number three, in due time, he makes all things beautiful. In due time, he will exalt you. In due time, he will lift you up. In due time, he will open the door. In due time, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. In due time, he will intervene for you. In due time, he will turn your circumstances around for you. In due time, he will provide for all your needs. In due time. Amen? Amen. And finally, humble yourselves under his mighty hand because he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares. I've seen his care so many times in the hospital. In the hospital. Because many of my non-Christian friends are afraid to die, including my grandmother. Maybe I should tell you my grandmother's story. It's called a grandmother's story. When you hear a grandmother's story, it's like, oh, no, no. It's my grandmother's story. My grandmother had cancer at the age of 87. So I went to visit her. And before I went to visit her, I fasted 30 days in my school days when I was young and I'm still young, like Pastor Kevin introduced. Fasting for him 30 days. And in that fasting, I saw Jesus coming to my grandmother's bed and just lifting her up. And I thought God is going to heal my grandmother. But the Lord spoke to me. He says, Julie, go and see your grandmother. Her time is up. My grandmother is from China, small leg, you know those? You know, and so she's very against Christianity. And so I took two buses to my grandmother's house. By the time I reached the door, my grandmother was gone. She died. My auntie met me at the door and I said, I'm here to see grandma. My auntie said, you can go in, but grandma is already gone. I went inside the room and I saw my grandma and I said, Amma, Amma, thank you. I said, Grandma, Grandma, wake up. Wake up, Grandma. Wake up. My grandma didn't wake up because she's already dead. She was all cold, her feet was cold, and I knelt down at the bedside. And I say, Lord, save my grandmother. Lord, give me back my grandmother. You say you will save her, Lord. Second time, I woke my grandma again. I said, Ama, Ama, take it. I miss grandma. Grandma, wake up. Wake up. No. I knelt down the third time, and I said, Lord, give me back my grandmother. Save my grandmother. I went the third time, and I said, Ama, Ama, take it. I miss grandma, grandma, wake up. Oh, she woke up. What can I see? She was afraid because she went to hell. She woke up with fear. What can I see? What can I said, Grandma, 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 Ama, Ama, don't be afraid. You are alive. You're alive. I said, Grandma, you're alive. I said, Grandma, you know when someone who is dead and come alive, you go straight to the point. No one say, how are you, Grandma? You want to drink water? You want massage? No. No need long talk. No more beat around the bush. I zero in, man. I got to go on target. And I said, Grandma, do you know that Jesus loves you? That Jesus, I said, yeah. I said, remember you used to beat me when I must remind her, it was so terrible. I have to have a closure, you know, I need a closure. I said, do you remember? Yeah, I said, she remembered. She remembered, and that's beautiful. I said, Grandma, all of us have sinned. Do you know the conviction on sin can only come because of the work of the Holy Spirit through the mighty hand of God? All these years, I told her, since she whacked me. But now she went to hell and came back. Oh, yes, definitely she knows she has sinned. She said, Kalau lang utuya, everyone has sinned. I said, sure. I said, Grandma, do you remember? I must remind her again. Do you remember you used to push the... You know, she always fight with all my neighbors. They all rare chicken. So everybody that rare chicken. When you rare chicken, got the poo-poo. So they will push the poo-poo to each other's house. The neighbor pushed to her, she pushed the neighbor. So they always fight over the poo-poos of the chicken. Chicken shit lah. Huh? Always fight over this thing. So I said, do you remember? Then you will say all sorts of things. I said, that is called sin. I said, I take 2 stones. I want to test her now. 1 small stone, 1 big stone. If I throw in the water, which one will sink? Well, she think. 2 also will sing. Very smart grandmother. So smart, I said. Do you know in the eyes of God, small sin, big sin, all will sing. Not just big sin like robbery and murderer, you know, robber and murderer. I said, no. She said, you're right. I said, Grandma, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So fast. Yes, so. Do you know when people accept Christ so fast, after you try so long, you cannot believe one? Come on, I'm not the only one. You're in a shock, right? Disbelief. I said, Grandma, maybe you don't understand. Let me explain the gospel to you. So I explained the full gospel to her. Then I said, it's salvation by grace. I said, because you are a mother, when your children disobey you, will you ask your children to be perfect and only come back? No. You love them just the way they are. You accept them. I said, likewise, God. Oh, I said, Grandma, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, la. What I la? She was like frustrated. I won, la. Wait, Grandma, one more time. Oh, I'm just like Peter, you know, 3 times. Need to be reinstated, you know. Oh, third time, Grandma, one more time. I went one whole round. She was looking at me like, come on, faster. I went one whole cycle, you know, man has sinned and Jesus died on the cross, make the bridge for us and all. He's the way, the truth, and like, Grandma, listen carefully. Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and no other gods but Jesus alone? What I la? Means I won la. Oh, glory. She gave her life to the Lord. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Of course, in the process, my grandmother asked me one question. No need to pay money, wana. You know, we go to the temple every time we give money. I say, Grandma, if it needs money, a lot of poor people cannot make it. The rich will always outbid you in terms of merits because they have the money to do so. You know, God is good. My grandmother lived another 2 more days because of the goodness of God. In due time, He made all things beautiful. Cast all your anxiety upon Him. The word anxiety means worry. It means something that's really troubling your heart. Something that's affecting you. Because he cares for you and you and you and you. And that's the beauty of it all. As I close here, I want us to know the next verse that says, be alert. Because the enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. It is when you humble yourself, when God gives you the grace, when God exalts you, he cares for you, the enemy will come to distract you, discourage you, disappoint you, and push you away. So that's why Peter went on to add that immediately following. Be alert. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he went on to encourage us. Whatever suffering you're going through, don't worry. You're not alone. Your brothers all over the world are also going through it. But more than anything, praise be to the Lord. The Lord our God is with us. And if his mighty hand is upon you, upon this church, you will grow from glory to glory, from victory to victory, till Jesus comes. Come on, give Jesus all the glory. Amen. 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 Yeah. Can we have the musician as we close in prayer?